which is the walk, as well as the shade area which they may go and rest in it. And we said that there is addition to this hadith which is in collection of Sunan Abu Dawood, which he reported from Mu'adh. He said wal mawarid, okay, guard against the three things which cause curse, i.e. defecating the watering places. So this is the addition which came in Sunan of Abu Dawood. But you see it in Bulugh al-Maram, the book Bulugh al-Maram, he had pointed this hadith. He said أو نقع ماء وفيه ضعف. He said that this is hadith is weak. He said the hadith is weak. But in actuality, the hadith been is Hasan لغيري. The hadith is been weak, but it came other narration and other what you call shawahid or other statements from other hadith, which will elevate this hadith from being weak to be authentic, to be Hasan. Okay, the hadith been elevated from the degree of weak to hadith Hasan لغيري. That means it's good, but it's not good by itself. It's good as a result of being strengthened by other statements of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So in actuality, what he see number, he didn't give it a special number here, but he said wa akhraja at-Tabarani annahi an qada'i al-haja taht al-ashghar al-muthmira wa daffat an-nahr al-jari min hadith ibn Umar bi sanad da'if. So he said rahimakallah, he said in addition of Abu Dawood, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam add to these two places, which is the bath as well as the shaded area, he add what? The source of the water. Okay, watering places. Okay, like where is the water be coming and people go and take water to wash their clothes or to drink, if it's a fountain or whatever it is. But he pointed it to be weak. The other addition, which is by Tabarani, that said from Ibn Umar, may Allah be pleased with him, prohibited, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam prohibited, of relieving oneself under fruitfully or fruity trees and on the bank of the flowing river. But he said also that this is da'if. But in actuality, both narration are Hasan, is good. Okay? Sheikh al-Albani, Hafidhahullah, he said that this hadith is Hasan لغيري, as well as the other hadith, which is in Tabarani, is Hasan لغيري. Therefore, we will consider it. Therefore, a person is prohibited to defecate in a shaded area. Is they prohibited of defecating on the road of the people? He is prohibited defecate in the places where people go to get water for their use, regardless if they're going to drink it or use it for other things. And also, the people are prohibited from defecating in a places like the bank or the side of the river. Okay. Because this is also like a bath for the people to go to get the water or go to take a shower and things like this. So the Muslim have to avoid being cursed by other Muslims, and it may be the Muslim can be cursed as a result of his action. Okay? So we have to avoid this. And hadith number 82, which is by Jabir radiallahu ta'ala anhu, qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, إذا تغوط الرجلان فليتوارى كل واحد منهما عن صاحبه ولا يتحدثا فإن الله ينقط على ذلك. Again, جابر رضي الله عنه تعالى رضي الله تعالى عنه قال: قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: إذا تغوط الرجلان فليتوارى كل واحد منهما عن صاحبه ولا يتحدثا، فإن الله ينقط على ذلك. But hadith which is collection of Imam Ahmad, okay, narrated by Jabir, may Allah be pleased with him, that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, when two people go together to relieve themselves, they should disappear from one another, or disappear themselves from each other, and do not talk, for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala detests this. Okay, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala dislike this, he hates this. This hadith has two defects, reason which he classifies the hadith to be weak hadith, so it could not be used. If it happened, since it's not, but if it happened that the hadith to be authentic, that the hadith is showing that it's prohibited for the people to expose their private parts to each other, but talking with each other, okay, if as example a person in the bathroom and somebody have to ask him about something or they talk about something, this itself is not prohibited, okay, but it comes as a result what Allah dislike, that for people to sit to be, because when they then be talking, that means they will be looking to each other and they expose their private parts. But anyway, as I said, the hadith is not authentic, the hadith is weak, therefore that is not going to be used as evidence for anything, and we let it go and we go to hadith number 83. وعن أبي قتادة رضي الله تعالى عنه قال: قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: لا يمسن أحدكم ذكره بيمينه وهو يبول، ولا يتمسح من الخلاء بيمينه، ولا يتنفس في الإناء. متفق عليه، واللفظ المسلم. عن أبي قتادة رضي الله تعالى عنه قال: قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: لا يمسن أحدكم ذكره بيمينه وهو يبول، ولا يتمسح من الخلاء بيمينه، ولا يتنفس في الإناء. متفق عليه. Narrated by Qatada, may Allah be pleased with him, the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم is saying, nobody should touch his penis with his right hand when urinating, and should not clean himself from defecation or urine using his right hand, and should not breathe in the utensils. Okay, this hadith is muttafaq alayh, that means reported by Bukhari and Muslim. This hadith shows us also the discipline and the proper manner of using the bathroom, that a person shouldn't touch his private part with his right hand. Neither he supposed to clean himself with his right hand. And this applies to male and female, that the right hand not to be used for cleaning or touching the private parts. So the person use his left hand. And also one additional manner which is not related to the subject, and this is breathing into the cup that you're drinking from it. When a person drinking, okay, he doesn't keep drinking and breathing into the cup or the glass that he's drinking in it, but the person will let it go down and they breathe out of the utensils or the cup or the glass that he's drinking out of it. And this is the sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that we shouldn't breathe into or inside the glass that we're drinking from it. حديث نمبر 84 which page number 43 عن سلمان رضي الله تعالى عنه قال لقد نهانا رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم أن نستقبل القبلة بغائط أو بول أو نستنجي باليمين أو نستنجي بأقل من ثلاثة أحجار أو أن نستنجي براجيع أو عظم رواه مسلم. Again, عن سلمان رضي الله تعالى عنه قال نهانا رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم أن نستقبل القبلة بغائط أو بول أو نستنجي باليمين أو نستنجي بأقل من ثلاثة أحجار أو أن نستنجي برجيع أو عظم رواه مسلم. Narrated سلمان may Allah be pleased with him that the messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم forbade us to touch, to face, that the Prophet of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم forbade us to face the Qibla, the direction of the Salah, when defecating or urinating, or to clean ourselves using the right hand, or to clean ourselves with less than 3 stones, or to clean ourselves with dung or a bone, reported by Muslim. Again, more teaching, adab, discipline, how to clean yourself and how to use the bathroom. Number one, that you are not supposed to face the Qibla, the direction of the Salah, that you have to give respect to the Qibla, that you don't give your face neither your back to the Qibla while you urine or defecating when you use the bathroom. Number two, that you are not supposed to use the right hand to clean yourself. Number three, that if there is no water and you use other means of cleaning yourself, and one of the means that they used to clean themselves, okay, in the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, stones, okay, stones. So in the case that you're using stones, or like some people using paper towel nowadays, okay, that how many? It have to be 3 times, okay? It have to be 3 times. Don't use it 1 time only. And a person, and I'm only making this clear because you never know what case you may face, that you may have no water, you may don't have paper towel, okay? And a person have to be careful that you use rocks, that you don't get something big, neither something sharp, that will hurt your private parts. Because if somebody never heard about this stuff, or never used this stuff, they don't know and say, okay, there is no water, and go get stones, and after this, he will cut himself and be bleeding. Okay? But you see, there is, you understand, rocks and stones and things like this, which is soft. Okay? It's not sharp, does not have edges. So you have to pick up before you go, when you know that you're about to go to use the bathroom, you have to pick up these rocks that you're going to use. But the manner or the sunnah, it have to be what? Not less than 3. Because this would be the minimum number for cleaning yourself. Okay? And also from the manner of using the bathroom and cleaning oneself after using the bathroom, that you don't use what? Raji' or azm. That you don't use defecation of animals. This is what you call it, dung. Okay? You want to use the defecation of animals, because after the animal defecate, it gets hard. After it dries, it gets hard, okay? And somebody say, oh, something solid. No, because the defecation of animals itself is impurity. You are not supposed to remove impurity with impurity, okay? And you are not supposed to use also bones, because the bones is what? The food for the jinn. Walaykum as-salam wa rahmatullah. Is the food for the jinn. This hadith is authentic in the collection of Imam Muslim. The next hadith, which is number, if somebody can help me, 85. وللسبعة من حديث أبي أيوب لا تستقبلوا قبلة بغائط أو بول ولا تستدبروها ولكن شرقوا أو غربوا. Okay? Say that in the collection of the seven, okay, that mean in Bukhari, in Muslim, Ahmad, Abu Dawood, Ibn Majah, At-Tirmidhi, and in Nisa'i, this hadith, which is the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, is telling us that don't face the Qibla, okay, with urine or defecation. And don't also turn your back to the Qibla, but do what? Turn towards the east or the west. But this will be related to somebody that the Qibla is not, because in some places, as example, you know that the Kaaba is like this, alright? Like, let's say this is square. So, in some direction, if you turn, you'll be turning towards what? The Qibla, and this will be the east. Alright? Because the Kaaba is this, so in every place around the whole earth, you'll be facing the Kaaba. So some people in this direction, as example, let's say that this is east here. We pray northeast, alright? So if you maybe go down to Florida, or you go down where actually you'll be facing the east? South America? Now, if you want to use the bathroom, you'll be facing what? You'll be facing east. Okay? So, what you're going to do now in this case, you don't exactly north or south. Okay? This is the hadith, because the whole thing is what? Given honor and respect to the direction of the Salah. So this hadith applying to the person that the Qibla is not in this direction, is not in the east nor on the west. Right? وَلَكِنْ شَرِّقُوا وَغَرِّبُوا وَعَنْ عَائِشَةَ. This is hadith number 86. What about you, make your mind, guys? Alright. Hadith number 86, page number 43, that عن عائشة رضي الله تعالى عنها أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال من أتى الغائط فليستتر. رواه أبو داود. Again, عن عائشة رضي الله تعالى عنها أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال من أتى الغائط فليستتر. رواه أبو داود. Okay. This hadith is Hassan. This hadith is Hassan, is good. Which reported by Aisha, may Allah be pleased with her, if anyone, that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying, if anyone goes to relieve himself, and when he say himself, will apply to him or her. Okay? Apply anything in Islam, it applies to men and the women, except if it comes to exception that doesn't apply to the women. You understand? So if the hadith say, if one relieve himself, okay, let him cover, let him shelter himself, does not mean himself, if you go use the bathroom, cover yourself, but if a woman use the bathroom, she expose herself. Okay? We have to understand this ruling. Except if the hadith will come and show there is exception for the woman. As example, when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Sallu kama ra'aytumuni usalli," pray like you saw me praying. Okay? So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to put the right hand on the left hand on what? On the chest. So the same thing will apply to the women. The woman will pray the same way like the man. They will stand shoulder to shoulder, foot to foot, the same everything, until it come exception to say a woman have to pray like this. Okay? So if no exception, what's applied to the man, applied to the woman. So this shows you the hadith, the necessity of al-istitar. When you go to relieve yourself, that a person have to cover himself or herself, not to expose what Allah commands to be covered. Hadith number 87, وعنها رضي الله عنها أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم كان إذا خرج من الغائط قال غفرانك. خرج الخمسة وصححه أبو حاتم والحاكم. وعنها رضي الله عنها أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم كان إذا خرج من الغائط قال غفرانك. أخرجه الخمسة. This hadith which reported by Aisha, Umm al-Mu'mineen, may Allah be pleased with her, Ameen, that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he used to come out of the bathroom or from the privy, okay, regardless if this a place in the opening or a place that like a tent or a walls, okay, like a small room, whenever he finished relieving himself and step out of this area, he will utter saying what? غفرانكه, which means what? Your forgiveness or your pardon I beg. Okay? What to say? غفرانكه. أخرجه الخمسة. That means is reported in the collection of Abu Dawood, At-Tirmidhi, Ibn Majah, Ahmad, and the classification of this hadith to be sahih. Okay? The hadith is authentic. And the person saying غفرانك, asking forgiveness. Because in actuality, when you think little bit about what happened before this, the food, Allah provide you food, provide you drinks, water, all the things. And after this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give you the system to digest, digest this food, okay? And after this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made system to benefit out of this food and other system inside you to take the poison and the harmful thing out of you, all these things. And after this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give you the ability also to be able to relieve yourself from these bad things. But did we in actuality give enough thanks to Allah to all what He gave us, for the food, for the drink, for the water, for the health, for the system inside that doing all the things, for the blood carrying the vitamins everywhere to your body? So in actuality we did not show enough gratitude and enough thanks to Allah for all these blessings. So now we saying, oh Allah, forgive us because we did not thank Allah in the proper manner. You see? So it came the dua to fit in this place by saying what? غفرانكه, oh Allah, I beg your forgiveness. Okay? Because I did not thank you in the proper manner with giving me all these things and even giving me the ability to relieve myself. There is a small story. They say that one of the kings, are you there? Okay. That one of the kings, they understand that when his servant brought a cup or a glass for him full with water, and when he's about to drink, he hold his hand and say, my master, I ask you by Allah's name, if there is no water in this life except this glass in your hand, how much are you willing to spend to have this glass of water? He say, I will spend half of all what I owe. I will pay half of the property and the currency and all what I got. I'll give half of it only to get this glass of water. So after their king drank it, the servant asked him and said, "My master, I ask you in the name of Allah, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala didn't give you the means and the ability to relieve yourself, now you want to urine, you want to take this water out of your body. Okay? And all the doctors, you could not relieve yourself. The doctors came to you. And it's no way for you to get it out of your body. How much money are you willing to pay to get it out of your body?" He said, "I will give half of my wealth for this water, for this urine to come out of me." He said, "Look, all your wealth, all your kingdom that you owe is equal to one glass of water to go inside your body and to come out of outside of your body." You see? See the blessings that Allah gave us, and sometimes we are not grateful, we don't see that we have a lot. Glass of water, this water that now they start selling it, okay, they're going to be selling everything, wait, until they sell the air even, okay? They do it? Okay, yes, they sell the air, putting in your tires, you see? So they're going to be selling everything, alright? So in actuality, we are rich, we are millionaire, we are billionaire, but we don't know. Why? Because we don't open our eyes. Because we did not reflect and think about Allah's blessings on us. Only for one glass of water, for you to get it, and to get out of your body after you finish, it can worth all what you owe and more. And this is reality. So we say Alhamdulillah. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, after he finished using the bathroom, what he used to say, Abd Malik Yawmiddin, "Too late, brother, hurry up. You're supposed to know this already 5 years ago." Ghufranaka. What you say? Again? Again? Ghufranaka. Okay? That means, "Oh Allah, I ask your forgiveness." Okay? We beg Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgiveness, and that Allah give us the proper ways that we be thankful and grateful to Him and to His blessings and what He gave us. Hadith number 88. وعن ابن مسعود رضي الله تعالى عنه. This page number 44. Hadith number 88, page number 44. وعن ابن مسعود رضي الله تعالى عنه قال أتى النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم الغائط فأمرني أن آتيه بثلاثة أحجار فوجدت حجرين ولم أجد ثالثا فأتيته بروثة فأخذهما وألقى الروثة وقال إنها ركس. أخرج البخاري. That Ibn Mas'ud, may Allah be pleased with him, narrated that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went to use the bathroom, okay, to answer the call of nature. And he commanded me to bring three stones. I find two, and I didn't find the third stone. So I picked up a piece of dung. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam took the two stones and he threw away the rawatha. He threw away the dung. And he said, "This is a filth," or "This is filthy thing." Okay? This hadith is reported in the collection of Imam al-Bukhari rahmatullah alayhi. So we can see that if a person could not find three stones, so whatever available there. And also from this hadith we see that a person is not supposed to be cleaning himself with something impure or something filthy. Because you try to remove filth out of yourself, you could not use another filth, even if it's dry. And hadith number 89 is the same page. وعن أبي هريرة رضي الله تعالى عنه قال إن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم نهى أن نستنجي بعظم أو روث، وقال إنهما لا يطهران. رواه الدارقطني وصححه. This hadith which is authentic, okay, this hadith number 88 is authentic and 89 is authentic, okay, reported by Abu Huraira, may Allah be pleased with him, that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam forbade us to use ebon or dung for cleaning ourselves. And he said, these two things do not profile. Hadith number 90. وعن أبي هريرة رضي الله تعالى عنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم استنزهوا من البول فإن عامة عذاب القبر منه. رواه الدارقطني وللحاكم أكثر عذاب القبر من البول هو صحيح الإسناد. This hadith which is talking about the necessity of cleaning oneself. Was it smearing yourself? Smearing yourselves with urine, because the main cause of punishment in the grave, cause of punishment in the grave, comes as a result of this. Okay, we have hadith that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam marra bi qabrayn, وأن الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم قال أنهما لا يعذبان وما يعذبان في كبير. That Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم, he passed by two graves and he said that the two people in these graves, they are punished, severe punishment, not because they commit a major crime like killing, adultery or anything, but he said the act is a small, but as a result of this act, it caused them to have a severe punishment. One of them, he didn't clean himself properly after using the bathroom, okay? And the second person, he used to carry tails about among the Muslims, okay? Carrying the tails like carrying only, is only one word. All what you have, and say, oh, sister so-and-so, she said such and such about you. Oh, brother so-and-so, he said you are not good, okay? And this can cause fitna among the Muslims and even can bring about fight and sometimes killing, okay? And communities, they boycott each other, and many things happen as a result of killing tails. And this is not a proper thing for the Muslim to do. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, whosoever believe in Allah in the day of judgment, let him say something good or be quiet. This is not one of the mannerism of the Muslim to carry tails, alright? So we have to avoid this and stay away from it. It's not supposed to be talking about people business, okay? Leave people alone and don't carry tales. Also, not relieving yourself properly from the bathroom, this will cause a severe punishment, because this will spoil your istinja, your tahara, your purification, and as a result of this, your wudu is going to be spoiled as well as your salah. So the action itself is small, but the result that build on it is what is great. Okay? So we have to be very careful about when we use the bathroom, that we don't let water splashing on us from the toilet. Neither, you understand, we make the urine splash on us or our laps. And we have to be careful, and we have to clean ourselves properly and not rush. Okay, make sure that we relieve ourselves from all this urine, and after this wash ourselves properly. Mujahid, we're going to pause here for a minute, stay on the line, okay? Although that, as I said, the meaning of the hadith can be right and good, okay? But this riwayah which came number 89 and 90, are you there? Okay. It has a problem, it has some kind of defect, but we can get the meaning that the necessity of being careful from the urine and cleaning themselves properly from the other hadith which I just mention it. And Sheikh Al-Albani, Hafizahullah, he has some saying about this two hadith concerning the isnad and things like this, and this in Kitab Al-Irwa, which I didn't bring it with me, so I can give you some details about it, so for you to be aware about it. But still the fact exists, because the hadith can be, has a defect or a weak, but can be another hadith which can be authentic, or the meaning itself can be getting from other places. We go to page number 45, and this will be hadith number 91, and hadith reported by Suraqa ibn Malik, may Allah be pleased with him. قال علمنا رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم في الخلاء أن نقعد على اليسرى وننصب اليمنى. And this hadith is weak. Alright, that hadith which reported by Suraqa, that how the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم taught us to use the bathroom, like putting the right leg like this, the left hand. But the hadith, we're going to leave it alone completely, because the hadith is weak. Okay, the next hadith, which hadith number 92, which reported by Isa ibn Yazdad or Bardad, عن أبيه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم إذا بال أحدكم فلينتر ذكره ثلاث مرات. رواه ابن ماجة بسند ضعيف. And this hadith also is weak, so we're going to leave it alone. Is not anything that we can get it. And by this, inshallah, we had covered the chapter number 7. Oh, thank you, brother Abdul Ahad. Brother Abdul Ahad brought me Silsilat al-Ahadith al-Sahiha, volume number 3, volume number 4. But there is another book called Al-Irwa, inshallah. Don't think about buying it now. Take it easy. Slow down, okay? Jazakallah khairan anyway. This issue is like an ocean, not a river, okay? And I get lost myself in it. But inshallah, I pray that Allah will bless your life, that you will be a man who can cross this ocean, inshallah. Say ameen, guys, inshallah. You never know. And one day you remember, you will say, I remember a guy, one day he make dua in the masjid, and it seems that Allah answered his prayer. And you became a big sheikh of hadith, inshallah. And they say, Al-Muhaddith Abdul Ahad Abdul Malik Yawmiddin from Columbia, South Carolina. And you go teach in the Emirates, okay? Inshallah. So by this, inshallah, since we don't have really too much time left, next week we'll be starting in a new chapter, which is Bab al-Ghusl wa Hukm al-Junub. Concerning taking ghusl, a full complete shower, and the ruling concerning sexual impurity. And the last 5 minutes left, if anybody have questions or comments or correction, you're quite welcome, inshallah, we can talk about it. Did I skip any hadith? Did I cheat you in any hadith, anything like this? Let me know. If you want jump out the line now, brother, help yourself. If you want to remain in the line, it's up to you. G, again? Okay. The sister brought my attention here that I cheated in one hadith, and which hadith number 93. وعن ابن عباس رضي الله تعالى عنهما أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم سأل أهل قباء فقال إن الله يثني عليكم. إن الله يثني عليكم. فقالوا إن نطبع الحجارة الماء. رواه البزار بسند ضعيف وأصله في أبي داود والترمذي وصححه ابن خزيمة من حديث أبي هريرة رضي الله تعالى عنه بدون ذكر الحجارة. Okay. That this hadith, which go to Kitab Tamam al-Minna في التعليق على فقه السنة في بيج نمبر 65. Okay, you don't have this book, but I have it here, and it's in Arabic. As I stated before, this book which Sheikh Al-Albani, حفظه الله, had made it as تعليق or comments about the book called Fiqh Sunnah by Sheikh Sayyid Sabiq رحمة الله عليه. And in page number 65, okay, first the hadith is saying that Ibn Abbas reported that Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم asked the people of Quba, okay, this is like the city limit out of Medina, this place called Quba. And the people of Quba, Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم told them that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala praise you. Okay? So they said that indeed we follow, we use the water for istinja after using the stones. Okay? This is the hadith. إن الله يحب التوابين ويحب المتطهرين في رجال يحبون أن يتطهروا والله يحب المتطهرين. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned about them in the Quran, people of Quba, and he said that there is in this masjid, in this area, people who would like to profile themselves, okay, and indeed Allah loves those who profile themselves. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to the people of Quba, indeed Allah had talked highly about you. So they explain the reason that why Allah had praised them, because they go more in the process of purification, that after using stones they use the water. So he said قلت الجمع بين الماء والحجارة في الاستنجاء لم يصح عنه صلى الله عليه وسلم فأخشى أن يكون القول بالجمع في الغلو في الدين من الغلو في الدين لأن هديه صلى الله عليه وسلم الاكتفاء بأحدهما وخير الهدى هدى محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها. That Sheikh Al-Albani say, okay, as a comments over what Sheikh Sayyid Sabiq رحمه الله said, and said because Sheikh Sayyid Sabiq in his book made a comment about removing the impurity is obligation which can be done by stones or water or both. So the Sheikh made comment about the word both. He said to have water and stones for cleaning yourself, this is not authentic from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And I scare by using this that the demand people using stones and water will be ghulu and exaggerating in the deen and going to take in the extreme, because the guidance of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that he use one of them, okay, that he use stones or he use water, but he did not use stones and water in the same time. And he made a comment after this by saying, and indeed the best guidance is the guidance of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the worst of all affairs what is invented. That means the best guidance even in cleaning yourself is to follow the footsteps of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, how he clean himself. Subhanallah, look how is this people with the understanding. This is the pure Salafiyah. This is the pure Salafiyya, to understand that the guidance of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in everything, even using the bathroom. Okay? Now you can see the Sufi that inventing ways how to get closer to Allah. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he show you how to use the bathroom. He's not going to teach you how to get closer to Allah. So the Sheikh made comment and said, and the best guidance, why is that? Means the best guidance even in using the bathroom will be the same way the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. أما حديث جمع أهل بالقباء بين الماء والحجارة ونزول قوله تبارك وتعالى فيه رجال يحبون أن يتطهروا فضعيف الإسناد. But concerning the hadith of the people of Quba that they use water and stones. And the saying of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, فِيهِ رِجَالٍ يُحِبُّونَ أَن يَتَطَحَّرُوا. In that place, there is men who loves to purify themselves. Said the isnad, the chain of this hadith is weak. لا يحتج به. You could not use it as the evidence. ضعفه النووي والحافظ وغيرهما. That النووي and الحافظ classified to be weak. ولذلك أورده أبو داود في باب الاستنجاء بالماء. Therefore that Imam Abu Dawood, he brought it in the chapter concerning using istinja with water. وله شواهد كثيرة ليس في